Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Book Club podcast. I'm Bex and I have got a lot of stuff going on in today's show. Right, okay, let me figure out what we've got. We are going to be chatting to YouTuber sensation Ali A. We're going to be telling you five top books to check out right now. We also have a reading from The Cranky Caterpillar. First up though, I've got my special book trivia question. I'm going to ask you one question and you've got the length of the podcast to try and figure it out. Okay, the question is this. How many Famous Five books are there? Now, bonus points if you can name all of them. But how many Famous Five books are there? I'll let you think about it while we find out what goes on when Sean chats to Ali A.
Ali A is here.
Hey, self clap.
Well, hang on, we've hired people specifically for applause this morning.
There we go.
Give these people one job. How you doing, bud?
Very good, thank you. Very busy, but yeah, things are crazy and fun right now. Lots of things going on.
I was
going
to say, because whenever we speak to YouTubers, it's like making the videos is like that is a lot of time to make videos.
It is.
But now everybody's doing more stuff. Like, isn't it? It's not just videos. People are doing like a YouTube Red series. People are doing books like yourself.
Yeah, I think it gets to a point where all we want to do is work harder and do more things. And it gets to a point where we're so used to putting out a video every single day, sometimes even more than one.
Yeah.
We just want to try something else. And in the case for myself this year, it's been a TV show, my brand new book launch as well. And it's been so exciting leading up to it. And for the moment, my focus is the launch of my brand new book, Ali A's Adventures Game On. And I can't wait for people to get hands on with it and check it out because it's been so fun working on it.
So when did you have the idea to start thinking like, right, I want to do the book?
It was about a year ago now, believe it or not. And it's taken that full time to put it together, get the illustrator, the writer and everything wrapped up for the final product, where now it's been a case of going on book tour dates around the UK, meeting fans, signing copies, saying hello, and then obviously launching it, which at the time of recording this will be tomorrow, the 19th of October, and just let the whole world check out Ali's adventures and read it, which I'm really excited for because it's not only visually amazing, but the actual story is really fun as well.
So yeah, so it's a graphic novel, and literally like you said, when just looking through it, it is all like mind-blowing, the stuff. And it's also, you can also see like a lot of influences from your YouTube channel in it as well.
It starts off, that's the cool thing, it starts off just like another video of me vlogging, going to a gaming event.
Yeah.
And that's where everything starts going crazy, because the game launch I'm going to basically starts turning into reality as people at this game launch start turning into these like good aliens called Thralls.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad alien statues have been placed all around this gaming convention because it would look amazing, end up turning into themselves, like these big Tyranitar robots. And they try and capture the Thralls. It's up to myself, Claire, Evie to work as a squad to try and save them. And it just turns into this crazy epic adventure, basically.
Man, imagine if that was an actual video.
Yes.
That would be views.
That would be crazy. Can you imagine? It would have to be a film. It wouldn't be long. It would be so long. It'd have to be a film of me going on this crazy adventure, getting my own liberator suit. It's nuts. It'd be so nuts.
So you've got the books coming out. What are the other things that you want to be getting up to as well as the book?
Well, we're in the middle of my TV show at the moment in terms of the episodes going out. So Ali A Supercharges on CBBC on Saturday morning. And I started filming for that at the beginning of the year. And there's 10 episodes for this first season. And we've had great feedback. So many people tweeting me being like, I want you to supercharge my car. How can I send it in? And the transformations are crazy. And it's great to see the family react to that as well.
So talk us through what that is.
So that is basically, for those guys that don't know, in summary, we take a family's car, which generally plays a big role in their family. So they're using it all the time. But it's very run down. We take the keys off the parents and give the kids full power to customize. Yeah, it's all up to the kids, customize the car inside and out. And then once it's done, we reveal it back to the family and they react to it. And like almost all the times, it's amazing. We've done, like, we've taken a ex-postal van, turned it into a surf mobile van where he's got his own custom surfboard in there, changing room. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it's a really, really cool experience.
Nice. And so Ali A Adventures Game On. So that's sort of got more of like the sort of the shoot 'em up kind of game style. Also, you do like a lot of, because I remember like watching a lot of your videos when Pokemon Go first came out.
Yes.
You were sort of the guy who jumped on the Pokemon Go thing and you made that space your own.
That was a funny thing. Obviously, I have always been a huge Pokemon fan, and that's my second channel. I call it my second channel, but the more Ali A channel where I posted all the Pokemon Go videos too, had a lot of like Pokemon card openings, Pokemon videos and vlogs on it. So when Pokemon Go came out and it merged this Pokemon and vlogging world into one, it was just perfect. And you say I jumped onto it. I just trialed it when it first came out. No one knew how big it would be, and it just took over the world. And I was like, well, this is doing so well. I'm having so much fun. I'm just going to smash it. And I think that was one of the busiest months of my life.
I can imagine.
I was waking up, recording for 4 or 5 hours, sometimes longer, finding places to drive to every day. So I was filming at a different location every day, then editing until about 4 or 5 a.m. And I think my videos for about 2 weeks straight went out at like 5 a.m. in the morning, and then I'd go to sleep, get 3 or 4 hours sleep, and do the whole thing again. So, yeah, I mean, it's been so cool. I still love my first-person shooters. I'm well into them at the moment, but it's been so good to have another channel for that outlook of posting Pokemon Go
games
as well.
And that could be like the seed for another book idea, a sort of version of Pokemon with all the creatures.
You never know. That's the thing. There's so many opportunities, and the Pokemon adventure is such a fun one. Who knows? Could happen next.
Keep an eye on it. Ali, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a load of fun.
So I'll see you soon, Ali.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you very much to Ali A for popping by the Fun Kids studio. Right, Imogen is here. Hello.
Hello.
Now, what 5 books do you have to tell us about today?
Well, of course, it's Halloween.
Ooh.
So we've got 5 kind of spooky books
okay.
to talk about this week.
Great.
First up is Stories of Wizards and Witches by Enid Blyton.
Now, I love a bit of Enid Blyton, so tell me a little bit more about this book.
So there are 25 short stories in here.
25?
25.
That's loads.
Whole stories, from invisibility cloaks and spells to pixie cats to bubbling cauldrons and broomstick rides and literally everything you could ever want for a Hallows Eve.
Brilliant. Okay. And Enid Blyton's story is always really good. So
always
great.
Very readable.
So if you don't want to read one big book, or you're not in the mood to kind of have one epic on your hands, it's nice to have this because you can pick and choose stories.
Yeah, definitely. You could even keep it for 25 whole years and read one story every year on Halloween.
That is dedication.
For, the rest of your life. I mean, you'd be quite old by the time you finish it, but it would give you something to do.
Sure, yeah, sure. What's up next?
Next is The Book of Dust by Philip Pullman.
Oh my goodness, all of my friends talking about this book. I've never read Philip Pullman, but I know a lot of people who absolutely love this series.
Yes, indeed. So, 4 things you need to know. Firstly, The Book of Dust is a story in 3 parts. He likes a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
The first part, La Belle Sauvage,
accent.
Is set 10 years before the events of his Dark Materials series, and the rest of the story takes place 20 years after that. So 10 years after Lyra comes home to Jordan College after her adventure in the Arctic at the end of Amber Spyglass. Lots of things from the old trilogy return, but there's also new characters and new things that happen, and obviously it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And the story does focus on some of the new characters, as well as an ordinary boy who eagle-eyed readers may have spotted in Lyra's story before. Dun, dun, dun. And finally, the tale is pretty topical. It centres on the struggle between this cruel and kind of evil organisation that wants to stifle all the speculation and inquiry, and those who believe that thought and speech should be free. So it's kind of like free speech and very topical and social and of the times.
Great.
Shall we say.
It's going to be a big one, that book.
A big one. Definitely one to get your claws into. Number 3 is another classic, The Witches by Roald Dahl.
This is the scariest book. Oh,
it's
my goodness.
So scary, but it's so great. Obviously, it's been made into a film. I'm pretty sure there was a TV series at some point.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen the film, and the film I still can't watch to this day. It freaks me out so much.
It is pretty terrifying. Yeah. So if you haven't read The Witches, it's about a 7-year-old little boy who goes to live with his Norwegian grandmother after his parents are killed in a car accident. And his grandmother is a really, really good storyteller. And he loves all her stories, but is especially interested in one about witches, which she says are horrific creatures who seek to kill human children. And it's basically all about that and how they get rid of the witches for good.
It's such a good story. I mean, and also, it's Roald Dahl. Of course it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Of course
it's just Roald a given.
Dahl. Yeah.
Right, what's up next?
Up next is A Dark, Dark Tale by Ruth Brown.
Okay.
It's quite a short book, as in it took me 2 minutes to read.
Oh, wow.
2 minutes. And
is it pictures?
There's pictures.
Great.
And it's very short and very easy to read, but it's a classic. It's basically, it follows a black cat as they go through a dark, dark wood into a dark, dark house, and eventually to a surprise discovery at the back of a dark, dark toy cupboard. And it's a beautiful, kind of really well illustrated picture book, and definitely one for the younger kids, but it's a classic, so you would really enjoy it too.
And great for Halloween.
Great for Halloween.
And what's the last book you've got?
The last book is The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's another classic. We're bringing in all the classics this week. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And if you haven't read it...
I haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
No, I've never read the Lion. I've seen the film, but I've never read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. My friends used to be obsessed with Narnia and I never got around to reading it. I know.
Well, shame on you. And
fair, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. I think you should read it.
Okay, yep. Yeah. It's about a lion and a witch and probably a wardrobe.
And a wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a film.
Right.
If you want to be lazy about it, but the book is better, as they always are.
Yeah, they tend to be. And isn't there, like, it's a series, right, technically?
Yeah,
like, Narnia,
it's a series.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia.
I know
something. This is the second one.
Okay.
So it's when these children get sent off during the war to live in this big house. And they're playing a game of hide and seek.
Right.
Or something of the sorts. Mm. And one of them finds this big wardrobe and goes into the wardrobe. And then there isn't a back to the wardrobe. And it leads into this magical place called Narnia. And it's great.
Where you meet Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumnus.
And Aslan.
And Aslan the lion. And there's a witch.
And there's
a
that's,
bad, bad witch.
To be fair, that's probably given away in the title, isn't it?
And
really?
She is pretty scary.
Okay.
She turns people to ice.
It's like the original kind of Frozen type thing. In that, like, turning people to ice, that kind of thing.
Maybe that's where they got the...
Maybe. Okay, so Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, great shout. I should probably read that book, to be honest.
Yeah, you should. So read them all. And enjoy Halloween.
Thank you very much for those spooktacular suggestions.
You're very welcome.
Right, we're going to go over to Richard Graham right now. He's going to chat to us about his brand new book, The Cranky Caterpillar.
It's fun, kids, and we've got a special guest in the studio. It's the author of The Cranky Caterpillar. Not just the author, because he's illustrated the whole thing too. Richard Graham, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Thank you so much for coming into Fun Kids. It's The Cranky Caterpillar. It's the story of Ezra, who is trying to make a caterpillar very happy.
That's right. One day Ezra walks into a room and she hears a strange noise coming from piano, and so she investigates further to find a caterpillar inside the piano who's very cranky.
And how did the story come about?
Well, I used to work at a school and I used to help children make things come to life, like their ideas, and in my spare time I used to collect junk and make them into animal sculptures. And one of the animal sculptures was a caterpillar made from an old piano. But I've made lots of other things as well, like dogs made with eyeballs made from light bulbs, birds from wood saws and secateurs as their beaks and things like that. So, yeah, I'm an animal sculptor.
And that has then led to this picture book.
That's right, yeah. This is all sort of accumulated to this book here.
It's the pictures that really do bring your story to life, because they're kind of gloomy, but they also, there's a brilliant, vivid picture of the caterpillar. The way you've done that is fantastic. So talk to me about how you transferred the picture of the caterpillar that you made using a piano then onto the page in what we see in front of us.
Well, the process is really good, because you make the animal sculpture out of lots of junk that you've collected over time, and then you put it on display, and then you can start drawing it on paper, and that process is really nice, because it kind of transforms what you've made in real life onto the page. Which is a great, great way of drawing, by the way, if you were looking for a tip on how to draw.
Well, I was going to say this. why are you so much better at drawing than me? Just because I am useless at drawing. And it's kind of amazing how you can be so brilliant at something and I can be so woefully terrible at it.
Well, to be honest, I don't have that much training in drawing, but I do enjoy it, which I guess is a really important part of it. And also just practicing. I think that you can draw something once, and then maybe if you draw the same thing again, it will be a little bit better each time. And then also just looking at other things like shadow and form and shape and things like that.
You've done the work of like two people with this, in that you've written it and you've drawn it. How do you kind of make it all come together? Where do you start?
That's a good question. I would say that normally you would start by writing a story and then maybe someone would illustrate it afterwards. But it's come around in a slightly unusual way because obviously I made all the characters out of animal sculptures first, and then they were all kind of sitting in my studio not doing anything. And so I wanted to make them come alive by making a story out of them and making the sculptures come alive. So I've done it in a slightly backward way.
Now, there are loads of picture books out there. Yeah. Yours is like a little bit different because it's a little bit darker.
Well, it starts off dark, but there's a good ending to it because I don't want to give too much away, but the story is about music, lifting your mood through music, and also the importance of friendship. And that's one of the ways that the Cranky Caterpillar becomes happy again.
Where can we learn more about the actual the Cranky Caterpillar? Because I know that you've got a place where you've got all the characters that we meet in the book that we can actually see.
Yes, that's right. So I've got a studio and it's opposite King's Cross Station in London, and I've transformed it into the Cranky Caterpillar Museum, where you can see all the original drawings and all of the junk sculptures actually that I made with the book. But you do have to make an appointment because obviously you don't want hundreds of children coming at the same time.
Especially if you're in the middle of your job.
Exactly, yeah, especially.
And is there a way that perhaps we can get better at drawing with your help?
Yes, there is a workshop available, and there's also a free literacy and science download, which you can find on the Teacher Education Syllabus website, which is www.tes.com. But also you can go on the Cranky Caterpillar website, which is just thecrankycaterpillar.com.
So it's thecrankycaterpillar.com?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in. The Cranky Caterpillar is by Richard Graham, and it is a delight for your eyes. It is an absolute feast. The pictures are amazing. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Richard, for coming to Fun Kids.
Thanks very much for having me.
So we thought, while Richard Graham was here, we would get him to do a reading from The Cranky Caterpillar.
There wasn't much going on when Ezra heard the noise. The noise was grim and gloomy, a sound that filled the room with blue. Ezra carefully walked over to the piano. She stood on her tiptoes to look inside. "A caterpillar!" she gasped. This caterpillar saw Ezra and asked, "Do you know how long I've been in here? I've walked over 5,000 miles in this piano," he said, "searching for a happy tune. But it's useless. I'm stuck inside this piano." This was true. The caterpillar had been playing the same sad tune for so long he was unable to play anything else. Round and round he played his cranky tune with even more blue gloom. Oh, how the caterpillar cried.
Thank you very much to Richard Graham for coming to chat to us about his brand new book. Now, before all of this stuff happened in the podcast, I asked my book question for this week. The question was, how many Famous Five books have there been? And I can tell you the answer is 21. Now, I won't read all of them out for you right now, but there was Five Get Into Trouble, Five on a Secret Trail, Five Run Away Together. It generally does tend to start with Five Do Something. If you got the answer right and you said 21, well done. I guess I'm not there with you, but give yourself a pat on the back. Right, that's pretty much it from the podcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you liked it, subscribe it, tell your friends about it, listen again, just get involved. And I am on air every weekday, so I'll hopefully see you around. Bye!